The army of the two pharaohs went into camp before the Blue Gate, and Trox sent an emissary to Sargon to demand the immediate surrender of the city, to save such a prodigy of architecture from the flames, and your person and family and populace from the sword, as Trox humorously phrased his demand. In reply, Sargon, sanguine and defiant behind his walls, sent the messenger's decapitated head back to Trox. The preliminaries having been dealt with, Trox and Narja made a circuit of the walls to allow the Babylonians to view their full might and splendour. They drove the golden chariots, Trox drawn by 6 black stallions, Narja's by 6 white. Heseret rode beside Narja, glittering with jewels and wearing the golden uraeus on her high-piled curls. Behind the golden chariots marched 50 prisoners, Babylonian women captured from the outlying towns and villages between the two rivers. All were pregnant, some very near their time. They were preceded by a vanguard of 500 chariots, and followed by a rear guard of another 500. The slow, stately circuit of the city took all day, and at sunset they came back to the Blue Gate. Sargon and his war council were gathered on the parapets above the shining gateway. Sargon was tall and thin, with a shock of silver hair. In his youth he'd been a mighty warrior and had conquered the lands as far north as the Black Sea to add to his domains. He had suffered defeat only once in all his campaigns, and that had been at the hands of Pharaoh Tamuza, the father of Nefertiti. Now another pair of Egyptians stood at his gates, and he did not delude himself into believing that these would be as merciful as the first. To confirm him in this belief, Trox had the pregnant women stripped naked and marched forward one at a time. Then, while all the city watched, their swollen bellies were slit open, the unborn infants ripped out, and the tiny bodies piled on the threshold of the Blue Gate.
"Add these to your army, Sargon!" Trox bellowed up at him. "You'll need every man you can get!"
It had been a long and exciting day for Heseret, and she retired to her tent with all her slave girls, leaving her husband and Trox to pore over a map of the city by lamplight. It was a work of art, drawn on a finely tanned sheepskin, the walls, roads, and canals drawn to scale, each of the main buildings depicted in coloured detail.
"How came this into your possession?" Narja demanded.
12 years ago, by the command of King Sargon, I surveyed the city and drew this map with my own hands,"
Ishtar replied.
"No other could have achieved such accuracy and beauty."
"If he commissioned it, why did you not deliver it to Sargon?"
"I did," Ishtar nodded. "I delivered the inferior draft to him, while secretly I kept the fair copy you see before you. I knew that one day someone would pay me more handsomely than Sargon ever did."
For another hour they studied the map, muttering a comment now and then, but for the most part silent and absorbed. As fighting generals with a professional eye for the salient features of a battlefield, they were able to admire the depth and strength of the walls, towers, and redoubts that had been built up, layer by layer, over the centuries. At last Trox stood back from the table.
"There's no weakness that I can divine, magician. You were right the first time. It'll take 3 years of hard work to break through those walls. You'll have to do better than this to earn your 3 lakhs."
"The water," whispered Ishtar. "Look to the water."
"I have looked to the water," Narja smiled at him, but it was a serpent smile, cold and thin-lipped. "There are canals supplying every quarter of the city, enough water to grow Sargon 6 terraces of gardens that reach up into the sky, and to water and feed the city for 100 years.
Pharaoh is all-seeing, all-wise."
Ishtar bowed to him.
But where does the water come from?
From the two mighty rivers. After the Nile itself, the mightiest rivers in the world. A supply of water that has not failed in this millennium.
But where does the water enter the city? How does it pass through, under, or over those walls?
Ishtar insisted. And Naja and Trok exchanged a look of dawning comprehension.